First, we're going to learn a little Kava Yasha. Before that, I just want to say that TorahAnytime.com, just say we're Mitzchem after the Shir, whoever could help us out. They're really doing amazing things. It's just a little story that happened to me in Eretz Yisrael. So I was there for three days. I went to 17 seminaries. And I went to one seminary, and this girl walks up to me. She goes, Rabbi Wallstein, I know every single story and every single share that you have given since you're on Torah Anytime. I said, okay. She said, I just want to ask you a question. She started asking me a question on this story, on that, and that. I never, she knew every single story. There was a couple of stories she said, I don't remember saying them. And I said them, but I don't remember the whole story, you know, because I forget, you know, and it was like amazing. So I said to her, you know, I don't remember every story, every detail I say. Why would you walk around like knowing every single story and every detail I said? So she said, when something changes your life, you don't forget the details. So that Torah, she's in seminary. That didn't change her life. But that she's watching every week on Torah Anytime this year, that changed her life. So it's really a venue that gets out there. And I get emails from Australia, from all over the place. They're doing amazing work. And whoever can get involved to help them out, monetarily or whatever else they need, it's a very, very big mitzvah. Because like right now in this room, what is the most people we can put in this room? 200, 300 people. That's the 400 people. That's at a full house, and you have to come at 10 o'clock at night and stay till 11:30. And once you're on Torah Anytime and it's downloaded, these people can watch all over the world at any time they want to, and once and twice and three times, as many times to remember. It's really, really amazing. So really, when that camera's looking at me, that I'm looking at right now, it's like a huge stadium full of people. It's amazing if you think about it. So whoever could help, it would be a very, very big help. And it would be a very big mitzvah. And it's absolutely tzedakah because you're spreading Torah. All right. Let us look for 2 minutes into the Kavi Yasha, and then we'll talk about David HaMelech, which is my subject tonight. So he says like this. Because Hashem loves us, we count 49 days. From after Shabbos, it doesn't mean Shabbos. It means from after the first day of Pesach till Chag HaShavuos. Shehu Yom Matan Torah, Shehu Yom HaMishim. It's Matan Torah, the 50th day. Why do we count 50 days? So he brings down from the Zayar, Kishah Yisrael Begalus Mitzrayim, when the Jews were in Mitzrayim, Nishtaku BeKlipa. They fell into the Klipa, B'Memtes Shari Tumah, to the 49th level of Tumah. Had they fallen to the 50th, they wouldn't be able to come out. Now that we have the Torah, even if we're in the 50th, we can come out. That's why it says that before Mashiach comes, we'll be in the 50th. I think the 50th is, and I'm not. I got a whole shmooze tonight. I promised him I would talk about it. I got a phone call yesterday. I listen to you. I watch you, actually, on show at Torah Anytime, all the time. And you always speak against the internet. I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, you know, I need the internet. I send out my resume. Da-da-da, whatever it is. I'm saying, okay, what's the point? He goes, well, there's something called KosherNet. And KosherNet is, what, $30 a month? $80 a month? All right, like $80 a month. He said, so instead of getting on talking about not having internet, you should talk to KosherNet that they should give to all the Jews who want. Somebody should give a lot of money to KosherNet. And that way they can give all the Jewish people who want to be on the internet KosherNet for free. So I beg you. All of you out there, please call KosherNet and tell them what I'm saying, that if you have to be on the internet, they should give subscriptions for free and raise money so that people could go on the internet and be kosher. I guess you can be kosher on the internet. I really don't know. I don't know if it's what Shechita it is. It's Chol Yisrael, exactly. I don't know exactly. Pas Yisrael. But he has a good time, and I said that this week when he watches me, hi, how are you? That when you watch me, I'm going to talk about it. So we would love KosherNet to please lower their price. Now, KosherNet's going to say, but it costs us a lot of money. We have to write all the programs. So maybe somebody in this room will call up and donate to them a couple $100,000 so that people can go on to KosherNet for free. It's an idea. All right. But if you don't have to be on the internet, don't be on the internet. Okay. Now, so he said like this. If there would have been there another day that we, our children, our grandchildren, we'd all still be in Mitzrayim. Okay, we know this, and they hit the 49th. So from after Pesach, we have to grow every single day, take a step out of that 40, out of that basement, and climb those 49 steps to become free of the Tumah. But if you think about it, if you climb out of the 49 steps of Tumah, Where are you? Zero. You're in the. That's not where you want to be. But Shavuos, you're supposed to be on the 49th level of Kedusha. So if getting out of every step, and then I get to come to, I'm nowhere. I'm not in the deep, but I'm on level ground, but I didn't climb anywhere. So Tzur Meira, Maaseh Tov. It goes together. Every day you count Svira, you're out of one of the Tumah Dikah steps, and you're climbing one of the Tahara Dikah steps. So it's a Tzur Meira, staying out of the bad, and Maaseh Tov, it's all one step. So by the time we're up to Shavuos, we're supposed to be on the 49th level of Kedusha, which we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. What does that mean? What's the difference? I'm on the 5th level, on the 9th level. Do I feel any different? We're going to talk about that. Okay. So he says, therefore, we count 7 weeks, like an Isha Nida, a woman who's Tameh, she has to count 7 days, Nikiyim, 7 clean days. And these 7 weeks are, we count days, 49 levels of Tumah, and we count weeks. Each week is considered a day from when the Isha Nida is not Tameh anymore. She has to count 7 Nikiyim. When we finish the 7 Nikiyim, that's Shavuos night. That's the night of Zivug between Klai Yisrael. I'm not going to get into it. That's very deep stuff. The night of Zivug between us and Klai, but we're supposed to be on that level. Therefore, it is very important that every boy in this room, Erev Shavuos, which is Sunday afternoon, goes to the mikvah. Very, very important. But even greater than that mikvah, the Zohar says that the mikvah Shavuos morning before davening, when you stay up, right? So then there's the morning star comes out, Alois HaShachar. At Alois HaShachar, before davening, you're supposed to go to the mikvah. There's a tefillah in the Tikkun Leil Shavuos to say. And that mikvah, he'll talk a little bit, I don't want to get into it too deep, but he'll talk about it a lot of it, is huge for your neshama. It's like unbelievable. So if you can't do that, because you're not staying up all night, if you're not going to stay up all night, or you don't have a mikvah around, you definitely have to go to the mikvah Erev Shavuos. Very, very important that you're tahar when you're up Shavuos night. Okay. And the 3 days before, it's called the Shlosh Yimei Hagbalah, which were the 3 days before we got the Torah. The men had to separate from the women. There was a fence around the Har Sinai. Everybody had to stay off Har Sinai. So the 3 days before, Klai Yisrael was Matayah, made themselves tahar. Okay. On the 50th day, to Shavuos, we went into the 50th level of Bina. And that is called, again, this is all Kabbalah, but that is called Eitz HaChaim Asher B'Soich HaGon. The Eitz HaChaim, there were two trees that we all know about, the Eitz HaDas and the Eitz HaChaim. When Adam ate from the Eitz HaDas, Hashem said, throw them out, because if he eats from the Eitz HaChaim, he'll never die. The Eitz HaChaim, in Kabbalah, we learn that what was the Eitz HaChaim was the Torah. Eitz HaChaim was the Torah. Eitz HaChaim he, Lamach HaZikim Ba. Right? So actually, had Adam not sinned, he would have gotten the Torah not much later after Mitzrayim, when we got the Torah in Har Sinai, he would have gotten the Torah if he would have waited till Shabbos. If he would have waited till Shabbos and he wouldn't have sinned, then he would have been able to eat from the Eitz HaDas, and he would have been able to have the Eitz HaChaim. He couldn't wait, and he sinned, and therefore he lost out on both of them. But the Eitz HaChaim Eshes B'Soich HaGan, whatever that means, in Gan Eden, in the middle of the Gan, of the Gan Eden, that is where the Eitz HaChaim is. So, Shavuos, this holiday, is called the Emtza, Chag HaEmtzoi, the middle Chag. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. So it's the Chag in the middle, which is the Eitz HaChaim Eshes B'Soich HaGan. And therefore, Shavuos is called Eitz HaChaim Eshes B'Soich HaGan. That's what's written in the Zohar. So it's a very, very, very big night. And that's why everyone is dead tired on Shavuos night. And someone just told me every other night I could stay up, I could watch TV, I could go to the movies, I could play cards. Come Shavuos night, I try, I can't, I fall on my face, because it's a very big night. And also, anyone who stays up the whole night of Shavuos is guaranteed to live out that whole year without anything bad happening to him. And the Satan is the Malcham of us. He don't want you to live out the whole year. You're guaranteed, I'm going to read you a guarantee. Imagine if I could go out right now, open up a store, right, and sell to the world, I will guarantee you that this year, you will not die. You know how much money I would make? Billions of dollars. If I could guarantee you will not die this year, and not only that, nothing bad will happen to you this year. I have a medicine, a pill. You take it, and it's guaranteed, right? Everybody in this room would line up, Rabbi Wallerstein. Okay, it doesn't mean you can put your jump off a cliff and you're not going to die, but in a normal art, right? So we're going to learn it tonight that it says that any person who from the beginning of Shavuos night till the Alois HaShachar doesn't sleep for 1 second, not for 1 second. And of course, that means he's learning. Not every second, you have to get a coffee, you have to get a breath of fresh air. But he's not talking stupidity, because that's considered like sleeping. He is guaranteed to live out the whole year through till the next Shavuos without anything bad happening to him. So that's a big thing. So if you're healthy and you're able to stay up that night, you should. Chas v'shalom, if it's meant to be that person's going to die, he'll probably get sick that night, that he won't be able to stay up. If you're healthy and you're able to stay up, it's a guarantee. I'm going to read you the guarantee from inside so that you believe what I'm telling you. So let's read it from inside. He says like this. Al-Kain, therefore, Roy v'nachan, it is correct. L'chol ish ha-yorei v'chorei l'dvar Hashem, any person who fears and trembles before God, sheyilmoid kol ha-laylo shel chag ha-shvuos, that a person should learn the whole night of Shavuos. Kifi ha-tikun shechibru tamidei ha-ri, go buy yourself a tikun leil Shavuos. If you can't read the Tikkun Leil Shavuos, I advise everyone yes to, but if you can't, then you can learn anything a whole night. But it's a very big inyan in reading this Tikkun. And it takes about 3.5-4 hours. V'yasku v'Torah v'yimu k'suvim u'mishnayis. In the Tikkun you will find Tanakh, Torah v'yimu k'suvim, and Mishnayis, and Mamari Azara, and Gemara. V'yesh nam lasa Tikkun b'shnei leil Shavuos. In Israel, they only have one night of Shavuos. But we have two nights of Shavuos. He says, there are people who know the big secret. The big secret is that the second night of Shavuos, nobody stays up. It's a very big inyan to stay up both nights of Shavuos. You're not going to have a minyan the second night, because most people, you don't have a minyan. So you go to sleep whenever Alois HaShachar is, 4:30, whenever it is. You go to sleep and you get up for minyan. But he brings down maybe a bigger inyan the second night than the first night, because the second night, nobody stays up. And if you stay up, it's a very big inyan. The Ashrei Ish HaShayalek HaZois, and praises the person who does this. And the Zohar says that with this learning a whole night, you are ma'ira, you wake up the holiness of the other world. You bring a yichud together. And this Hashem should give us a light. So let me read you what he says on the bottom. This is very important. Listen carefully. This is from the Kav Hanoki, and he says the following. Any person who stays up a whole night of Shavuos, he's guaranteed to live that whole year, and he will go through that year whole. He translates it into Hebrew because that's a Zayar. Anyone who joins the Shechina by learning the night of Shavuos, to adorn yourself with adornments by learning Torah, he will be watched in Shemayim and on earth. He will go through the year in peace. It's important that you don't sleep this night at all. The liyos kol halayla neurim. You should stay up this whole night. Va'oiskim b'toyra, learn Torah. V'da ki kol mashal yishim halayla azois klal. Afilu rega echad. That you should know that anyone who doesn't sleep the night of Shavuos at all, even 1 second, via oisik b'toyra kol halayla, and he learns the whole night, muftach lo, it's guaranteed to him she yashlim shenasai. He will live out the year. No damage could come to him in that year. Below Ode. Now he says something even scarier. Not only this, Ella, the way you're going to live that year, it's connected to Shavuos night. We all think it's connected to Rosh Hashanah. He's saying here that the way you spend your Shavuos night, that is going to affect your whole year. Ki im lo yishan klal, vaday shelo yomos hashanahi, that a person who doesn't sleep that night, he surely will not die that year. L'chein, and therefore, pashut, it's simple, haminig lasik b'torah kol halayla, to sit and learn a whole night. V'rah b'shlo, mitzach the Shavuos, we see in the Shlo, which by the way, today you're supposed to say his prayer to have good children, which is on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, which was today, was a special prayer from the Shlach HaKadosh. Ach shechavu v'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how it's close and loved by God. Levilti nadum rega achas. Not to nadum means to what's the word? You know, like when your head goes down all of a sudden, it jumps up. To doze. How much Hashem loves a person who doesn't doze rega achas 1 second. Devekas atayr b'zayis halayla, from learning Torah this night. You shouldn't talk that night about politics or sports or anything that's weekday. He says, really that night you should only talk Ivrit. You should only talk Hebrew. You shouldn't even talk English. Okay, but we're not on that level. We know the famous story of the Beis Yosef, that on that night they had very big Ruach HaKodesh and a Malach came from Shemayim. He was called the Magid and he taught them Torah. Okay? So, now, he says, now this is a big Kiddush. I have a lot of fights about this because a lot of people say, Tikkun Chatzos, that's, you know, for dummies. If you don't know how to learn, so say Tikkun Chatzos because you don't know how to learn Gemara. I want to read this to you from inside. And he says the following. What it says in the Zohar, the Tikkun Laila Zu, that this Tikkun of that Tikkun Leil Shavuos that we say, the Mali Baraisim Yitarl Levinu Levinim Luksuvim Drushes, that we say Taira Neviim Ksuvim Drushes, right? Uvechen Yishtokav Lo Yom Hashum Limud Belaila Hakat Agdusha Zu Ad Asher Yikra Tikkun. Don't learn anything else, says the Zohar, until you say the whole Tikkun Chatzos. That's what he says. That the Rav Shimon bar Yochai and his chevra and the Arizal, this is what they used to say. Now, there are many people who don't hold like that. That you should learn it, and it's true because some people can't just say a whole tikkun. It's 3.5 hours; they can't read it. They want to learn other things. There is no problem with learning other things because the bottom line is that a person should learn that night. There's a famous story and he says here that to learn the second night is a very big thing. People don't know this at all. It's a very big thing to learn the second night because the famous story with Rav Alkabatz, who wrote L'Chadoidi, and the Beis Yosef was both nights Kulam Bamudam. They were learning both nights of Shavuos. Now, they didn't have a second night of Shavuos because they were in Eretz Yisrael. But they learned the second night also. Because actually, the Torah was given on the 51st day. Rabbi Shabbeinu gave an extra day. So it's a big thing to learn the second night also. If you can, it's a big thing. There's a famous story with the Vilna Gaon and the Magid Midumna, and the Vilna Gaon was saying Tikkun, and the Magid Midumna was learning. So the Vilna Gaon asked the Magid Midumna, "Why aren't you saying Tikkun Leil Shavuos? Why are you learning?" So the Dugma Magid answered him like this. He said that there was a guy in the marketplace, and he used to sell rugs, carpets. So he sold carpets. So he had samples on the table of many different carpets. And he saw, this guy was watching. He didn't know the business. He was watching. He wanted to learn a business. So he saw a guy standing in the marketplace with all these different carpets. And people were coming and throwing him money. $500, $700, $1,200. He said, "Wow, this is a great business." So he went ahead and he asked the guy if he could buy some of these samples. So he bought like 40, 50 samples. And he started going around to houses. He had these little swatches. And he went, Would you like to buy this? They said, "What am I going to do with that? It's not even big enough for a doormat. Get out of here." And he went from house to house to house to house. He couldn't sell one of them. So he came back to the guy who was making all the money. And he said, "I don't understand. You're running a business. You're getting all this money. I go to houses. They look at me and say, 'What are you, crazy? I need a towel. What am I going to do with that little piece of carpet? What's going on here?'" He says, "Oh, my goodness, Shugan, are you crazy? You don't sell the sample. You show the sample. They order from what they see in the sample, 100 yards, 200 yards, 500 yards, whatever it is, and they pay you for it. The sample is only to show what you have in the warehouse. You're trying to sell the sample? You can't sell the sample if you have nothing in the warehouse." Said the Dugma Magid to the Vilna Gaon. He said, "You say Tikkun Chatzos Simchat Torah is a little piece of each parasha, like a few psukim, a little piece of the Tanakh, a little piece of the Mishnah. So he says, when you say a little piece of the pasuk, you got all the, you know all the Torah behind it. So when you say a little piece, it represents the whole Bereishis, the whole Shmos. But me, I don't have anything in my warehouse, said the Dugma Magen. I don't know any of this. So if I'm just going to say the psukim, I'm just saying the sample. If I'm going to say the sample, that's nothing. So you see that there was like an argument if you should say it or you shouldn't say it. But it, no question from the Kavah Yashar and from the Zohar, that's a very big thing, even if you don't understand what you're saying. It's a very big tikkun for a person's neshama. It takes a long time. It could take 4 hours, it could take 5 hours, it could take 3.5 hours, depending on how fast a person can read. Okay, anyway, it's a big thing to stay up Shavuos night. If you're going to talk and play around, then you're better off going to sleep. If you're not going to be able to daven in the morning, then go to sleep at 4:30 and get up at 9 and daven with the second minyan. Because it's very important that a person davens. And it's very important that you go to the mikvah, Erev Shavuos. And if you can, you live in a neighborhood that's near a mikvah, you should go after learning a whole night, before tefillah in the morning. Okay. I would love to talk tonight about David HaMelech. Now, Megillas Rus, which we read on Shavuos. Before we get to Megillas Rus, let's go to where David HaMelech comes from. I don't know why my markers always fall out, but okay. Shavuos to Shavuos. Yep. That's what it sounds like. No, it says you'll live out the whole year, which means Shavuos to Shavuos. Okay. What? I think on Rosh Hashanah they decide if you'll be able to stay up all night Shavuos. Because it really is true, because if a person gets sick, Chas v'Shalom, even if you want to, you won't be able to.
Where do women stand on this, staying up?
So Rav Shimshon Pinkus speaks about it, and he says that there were women that stayed up a whole night. Not in shul, but at home. There are women that are big today, because in Eretz Yisrael, there's plenty by the Kaisel, a whole night Shavuos. Hundreds, full. Full house of women there. So, listen, it's their yontif. It's a yontif of Rus. It's big time. All right. Listen carefully. So the question is, where does Rus come from? Because we have to know Rus. We read Rus on Shavuos. Not only do we need to know where Rus comes from, but David HaMelech comes from Rus, and Mashiach comes from David HaMelech. So let's get to the whole beginning of the whole story and see where it all starts, and we'll try to tie it all up together. Three Malachim came to Avraham Avinu and Sarah. They had four jobs. The question is asked, how can one Malach do two jobs? We know that every Malach that sends from Shemayim, he only has one job that he could do, right? We all know that. So the Teretz is like this. The Malach that came, there was no Malach that was sent to save Lot. Lot was not supposed to be saved. There was no reason to save Lot. Lot was living in a terrible place in Sodom. There was no reason to save him. What happened? What happened was like this. The Malachim asked Avraham, Ayei Sara Ishtecha, where's your wife? They came to this big hotel, right? Hotel Eshel. There's no woman, sir. There's no one there. So Avraham Avinu said, that where is my wife? My wife is in the Ohel. She's in the Ohel. She's a Jewish woman is not supposed to come out and serve men. Right? Sari Imenu's in the Ohel. She doesn't come out. You have Yishmael being the waiter. I'm the waiter. But a Jewish woman, she's not supposed to serve men because they're going to look at her, look how pretty she is, and then she knows how to cook, and it's going to cause all kinds of problems. So they said, Hayei Sari Ishtecha, and he said, Hinei Ba'ohel. She doesn't belong out here. She belongs in the Ohel. Now, when Avraham Avinu paskin that halacha in this world, that a woman, a Jewish woman, is not supposed to serve men, a lot of things changed. What changed was like this. Moav, right? Moav, the terrible sin that Moav did is that when we left Mitzrayim, so we were starving and we were hungry, we stopped by this country, Moav, who were sort of cousins because it comes from Lot, and Lot was a cousin, was a nephew. And we asked them for food and drink. And they said, we're not giving you nothing. So the Torah says that that cannot mix with us. Because Jewish people, the one thing we have in our DNA is rachamim, we have pity. We are a nation of pity. A nation that sees kids and women who are hungry and thirsty, and they don't, and they're not willing to come out and give them to eat or to drink, they cannot marry into our nation. We can't mix that DNA into our nation. So the Torah tells us that we are not allowed to marry from the Moavim. That's what the Torah says. We're not allowed to marry from the Moavim, this nation called Moav. And therefore, being that, now let's go back to Lot for a minute. Lot left Sodom. He ended up in a mountain with his two daughters. The whole Sodom was burnt. It was smoking with fire. They came out of the cave. It looked like the whole world was Mars. It looked like it was over. There was nothing there, just red ground and salt and sulfur and fire. So the daughters of Lot said, there's no one left in the world. We can't have, there's no more men to marry. How are we going to have children? So we know the Pasuk says that the oldest daughter gave her father to drink and he fell asleep. He was drunk. She was with him. She became pregnant. She named her child Moav. Me'avi. Moav stands for Me'avi, from my father. Now, from Moav, we're not allowed to marry. Now, Rus came from Moav. So until Avram Avinu paskined that a woman is not supposed to serve, then the women of Moav did as big an aveir as the guys. Because when the Jewish people came by, they should have come out and given us to eat. But since Avram Avinu paskined that women are not supposed to serve, so therefore the women of Moav did nothing wrong. So now, when Avram Avinu paskened that halacha, now they had to save Lot. Because from Lot came Moav. From Moav came Rus. So once he paskened that halacha, this malach got a new shlichus, a new shlichus. It had nothing to do with when he left Shemayim, because when he left Shemayim, he didn't have two things to do. He only had one thing to do. So therefore, listen carefully. So therefore, the basis of Rus being allowed to marry into Judaism was based on that Sora Imenu, that a Jewish woman is a tsnua. The whole thing started because Avraham Avinu said Jewish women don't serve because they have to be modest and they have to be in the kitchen. That's, I guess, where the whole saying women belong in the kitchen, right? So, sorry everybody. But that may be where it came from, but that she belongs in the kitchen because she shouldn't be outside serving the men. So therefore, the basis of Rus, where she came from, is from Sarah Imenu being a tznua, that they passed in halacha, otherwise Lot wouldn't have been saved, there wouldn't have been no Rus, there wouldn't have been no Moav, there wouldn't have been nothing. So we have to remember that. The basic DNA in Moav, in Rus, was tznua. Okay. Now, and if you learn the story of Rus, you will see that the whole reason that Boaz was even attracted or even looked or even had anything to do with her was because she was a tznua. To get to David HaMelech, you have to understand where he came from. So let's go now a little bit into Rus. So you all know the story. I don't have to tell you the story of Rus. Most of you know it, right? There was a man, and his name was Elimelech, and he was cheap, and he didn't want to give anyone food, and he went to the Sde Moav, and he had two sons, Machlon and Kilion, and they married two girls, Orpah and Rus, and they died, and he died, and all that was left was Naomi, the mother-in-law, and the two daughters, Orpah and Rus. Now, it's very important because we're going to talk about David HaMelech. And she told them to go back to the nation. Now, you have to understand who these people were. These were both daughters of the king of Moab. Okay, they were princesses. They married these two Jews because these two Jews, these Machlon and Kilion, were also princesses. They were the sons of Elimelech, who was a Shefet. So they were also princesses. So it was a big shidduch, except they married Goyim. Okay? They for sure were not Megayer, because Rus was Megayer later. So she wasn't a Jew at this point. Right? They died. Hashem gave them a chance to do tshuva, they died. So now, these three women were left. Naomi said, don't come back with me. I have nothing. I lost all my money. I have nothing. Go back to your father, your princesses. You'll do fine. So what happened? Orpah, they cried, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and left. That night, the Medrash says, that Orpah slept with hundreds of men. with hundreds of men. Now, this is an important, an interesting point, because from her sleeping with all these hundreds of men was born that night. From her, she became pregnant with Goliath, with the giant Goliath, who went against David HaMelech later. He was conceived on the night that Orpah left Naomi. What I learned from this whole thing is, look at, and I gave a share in this a few months ago, or a few weeks ago, look at the difference in a moment. One moment, she's kissing and hugging her mother-in-law. And the next moment, she's doing znus with hundreds of men. How much a person can fall in one moment. Look what happened here. She became the mother, which we're going to learn tonight because it's an amazing story, of Goliath, a giant that was 12 feet tall, that because she cried and held on to Naomi, was told that nobody in the world can kill him, except one. The one that held on longer, which was Rus, which Goliath totally had no idea that that was David HaMelech, this little kid, whatever, we'll get to that. So look what 1 second happened. One sister-in-law became the mother of Mashiach, and the other sister-in-law became the mother of a giant who was the biggest Kiddush Hashem for us when we killed him, but who was the anti of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we'll see soon, how he scorned God. And the whole difference was one held on, guys, and one let go. And I think it's very important in all of our lives, the difference between holding on and letting go. Some people say, okay, I held on, I let go. What's the big deal? You know, I held on for a while. Look at the difference between holding on and letting go. One of them became Melech HaMashiach, the mother of Melech HaMashiach. Mother of Melech HaMashiach, David HaMelech's grandmother. And the other one became a lowlife, mother of Goliath, grandmother of Goliath. So a person has to understand that you know, the holding on, the dafka boy. Person's dafka, yeah, it's a big test and it's very hard to hold on. But the difference between stepping away and holding on is the difference between having a Mashiach and having a Goliath, chas v'shalom. Okay, he goes on. And she says the following. She goes, go back. And she says, Rus, listen to me. Don't stop telling me to leave you. Ki al shetel chi elech, where you go, I will go. Kasher talini olin, where you will sleep, I will sleep. Amech, Ami, your nation is my nation. Velekayach elekoi, and your God is my God. Basher tamusi omos v'sham ekvot. Okay, so she held on. Now, what happens is that there's still a very big machlekes in Klal Yisrael if a woman from Moab can marry a Jew. This is a very big machlekes going on for a very, very long time. Boaz, who was a shofet, who was in his 90s, he was very, very old, he owned a field. Now, interesting, the day that Naomi and Rus came back was the day that Boaz's wife died. They came back, there was a funeral, and there was a funeral of Boaz's wife, because now it was Rus's time to marry Boaz, so she died on that day. Hashem runs the world, everything has to be in its time. Okay, he goes on. And the reason that Boaz even pays any attention to her is that the boys who are working in the field tell him that there's this girl and she's very different than everyone. Instead of bending over to pick up the stuff that's dropped, she curtsies. She bends down with her knees so that her dress, that no part of her body is ever showing. And they say, I'll read what he says. He's bad-mouthing her. He's telling Boaz, you know, there's this girl, she's a Moavia. Now the Jews hated, it was like Nazis. Jews in Moavim was like Nazis. It was like we just hated them internally for what they did to us. So he was telling Boaz, like, stay away from her. She's a Moavia. He said, but he said she's different. She picks everything up different. Not only that, I think they threw her over the fence. I'll tell you what happened over here. 1 second. Yeah. It's an interesting. If you look at the pasuk, because they do. But he ne'bars bo mi beis lechem, He said, Hashem should be with you. Yivrach Hashem. L'miyah Nara, who's this woman? V'yana Nara, he needs to have a koitzer. Yuma Nara, she came from Steyo. V'yama al-akam nevasav de mar machar koitzer. V'atavoy, v'atamay moza boiker. She's been here since the morning. V'yama baza rus. So he said, don't go anywhere else. One second. Yeah. He says like this. Haloitzi visias hana'arim. I told my workers, my young men, levilti nogech, they shouldn't touch you. So they said, why would they touch her? Why would they touch her? What are you talking about? These are yeshiva guys. Why would they touch a girl? So he said, because they were so against, she's not Jewish. What does she belong in this field for? We're going to pick her up and throw her over the fence. She doesn't belong in the field. Leket's for Jewish people, right? Get out of here. So he told them, don't worry, they won't touch you. They won't touch you. Batipol apaneha, and she fell on her face. Vatoyme Elov, listen carefully, it's very important for all of us. She said to him, Madua Matsasichem Beinecha. Lahaki Reini, why are you, this is a gadol, first of all. This is this is a shmooze I gave a few years ago. It's not my shmooze tonight, but a real gadol. Hello, why is he talking to a girl? He was the Gadol Hador. He was the Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was the Rav Palm. He was the Gadol Hador. What's going on over here? There's a girl collecting in the field. Why are you talking to her? Because a true tzaddik is a person who has been Adam L'Chaveiro. He saw this girl. They were attacking her. They wanted to throw her out of the... What's going on over here? She's a Moavia. Right? So she says to this Gadol, could you just imagine, like... There's a girl, Lahavdil, okay, Lahavdil. Rosh Yeshiva walks out of Yeshiva, and there's a girl on the street, a Jewish girl walking, and she's in pants with a couple of tattoos and whatever, and maybe a tongue ring or two, and everybody's like, get out of here, get off the street, we don't want you near Yeshiva, and they're screaming and yelling at her, and he's like, okay, everyone calm down, it's a Jewish girl. Let's talk to her. Let's find out what's going on. Let's be, you know. What? So she said to him, Madua matzasi chem benecha lahakireni. Why are you talking to me? Va'anaychi nachriya. I'm a guy. Why is the girl at door talking to a guy? Because this person, this girl, was being mistreated. And anyone that's being mistreated, if you're truly a gadol, you're not going to let that happen. Wait. Vayan Boaz, so Boaz answers her. Tell me a little bit about your life. You see a person at risk, boys. Now, I'm not telling you could talk to a girl at risk. Oh, no. We're talking about Boaz. He was 90. He's a Gadol Hador. Okay, I'm not giving you a head to talk, but what he's talking about is to people, what they should do. He said, you say you're a nachriya. Tell me a little bit. What'd you go through in life? What's going on in your life? What are you doing with your mother-in-law? Did you left your mother in your father's house? Did you left Moab? What's going on over here? And you came to the Jewish nation that you don't know anything about. Yishalom Hashem Polech. He gives her a bracha. Hashem should pay you back. He's giving this girl a bracha. They want to throw her out.
Yeah, the frum guys. Throw her over the fence.
She's a Moavia. And the Gadol Hador is saying to her, blessed are you from Elokei Yisrael that you came to become a Jew. Tomar, this is such a lesson on how to deal with people. So now this girl, she's talking to the Gadol Hador. Tomar, she said, Em Tzachem Beinecha Adoni, if I could find favor in your eyes, my master, kina kamtani, you consoled me. These guys are screaming at me, you shiksa, you moavia. And the Gadol Hador, thank you for asking where I come from. Thank you for asking me about my life. Kina kamtani, you consoled me. Wait. Dechidibati alev shivchaseich. And you were willing to talk to the heart of your maid servant. I can't believe you're willing to talk to me. But and I'm not like one of your Jewish girls. He said, come and eat and take your bread and stick it into the vinegar. That's what they used to eat, pita and vinegar, and sit down. Das ist our Gadol boys. Gadol is a person who says, so what's going on with you in life? How are you doing? How can I help you? To treat another person, even if they're different. Those shaitim, those guys, they were busy throwing her over the fence. That's not godless. That's not shfuis. That's not chesed. That's not malchus. That's not benel mechavero. It's such a lesson to be learned from Boaz. He could have walked, I have to worry about some girl. He's the girl on door. He's a shayfet. I have to worry about some girl. There's a bunch of guys screaming at girls. Hey, get out of here. She's not, whatever. How are you? Tell me about your life. What's going on? Nayudik. Okay. Well, we're going to see this again a little bit further. So Ruth sends her down while he's sleeping. I'm skipping a lot, but there's certain points I want to make. And he says the following. Listen to this. Now, you have this Gadol HaDor who's now sleeping in his silo by himself. Right? I guess he had his own room, whatever it is. Now, there was a Yibum. I don't have time to get into the whole thing tonight. But there's a, because she and her husband had no children, right? So there's a mitzvah in the Torah for someone to marry that girl who was married to that boy. His first one is the brother. It's called Yibum. But the brother was dead. So the closest relative should marry that girl who was married, had no children, and have a child with her. And that child brings the neshama back of the father who had no children with his wife. It's called Yibum. Now, these two brothers were dead. So the next one in line was a guy named Ploni Almoni. Ploni Almoni didn't want any part of this because he said, if I'm going to marry this girl, then they're going to paskin that in Moab you can't be. My children are going to be disgraced, whatever it is. So Boaz was the next relative. So Naomi said, the way to show it, called a Goyel, a sign, is when the man is sleeping, is to uncover his feet. That means I want you to cover me, which means I want you to marry me in order that I can bring children to my ex, to my husband who died. That's called Yibum, whatever. So Naomi sent Rus, which is pretty scary, to the Gadol HaDor who was sleeping in the middle of the night to uncover his legs, right? To uncover his legs and then say, hello, you know who I am. Now, if the Gadol HaDor, you have to understand, there's a tzaddik, a Gadol HaDor, Shmir Sinayim, on the highest level, he was a shayfet, right? Is sleeping in the middle of the night. And a woman comes into the room and uncovers his legs and wakes him up. The first thing that anyone would do would say, excuse me? Get out of here. Crazy? Get out, who are you? Right? That's the first thing he would do, is scream at her. Now, listen to what happened when she woke him up. Listen to this. No, we have to learn from this. And this is what happened. Boaz ate and he drank. So he ate and he drank. He went to lie down at the end of the grain pile, because that's where he was in a granary. And she came and uncovered his feet, and she laid there where his feet was. So I guess he was really sleeping. It came at midnight. And he became very frightened, very startled. And he woke up. There was a woman laying at his feet. What was his reaction? Get out of here. Who are you? What kind of chutzpah is this? Who are you? So what he was asking, says the Medrash, is he thought it was a shade. He thought it was a mazik. Because a man's never supposed to really sleep alone. Because there's a danger if a man sleeps alone. There's a lot of dangers. So even like in the mountains, when the women are in the mountains from the bungalow colony, really you're supposed to, if a guy's home, he shouldn't be alone. He should either go to his mother or a cousin or whatever. But a man's not supposed to sleep in the house alone. So when he said, mi'at, he asked her, says the Medrash, who are you? Are you human or are you from the other side? Who are you? I am Rus. Could you do Yibum with me because you are my redeemer? Now at this point, you have to understand something. Rus was a tznua. Rus was a tznua. I'm going to tell you something that I never said before. It's a chiddush that I came up with this year. Rus was a tznua. She was very, very shy, and very, very modest. Now, her mother-in-law is telling her, I want you to go down to the Gadol HaDor, right? And I want you to tell him to marry you so that my son who died, we'll have a child that will bring my son back. Lady, excuse me. Everyone is belittling me and calling me a shiksa, a moavia, a lowlife. If I'm going to go down to this granary, uncover his legs, and get caught, they're all going to say, we told you she's a zayna. We told you she's a lowlife. We told you all these moavia women are a bunch of goyim. See, we're right. One. Two, she didn't have a din of yibum. She had no halacha of yibum, guys. She was a goy. When she was married to him, she was a goy. If she was a goy, there's no kiddushin. There's no marriage. The only time there's a chiyuv of yibum is when a man marries a woman and the man dies without having any children. So through that woman, you can bring a child into the world to redeem that man. But she was never married to the man because kiddushin by a goy is not kiddushin. So why didn't she just turn around to her mother-in-law and say, listen, I became a ger, I'm a Jew, I'm a new person, I got nothing to do with your son, there's no chiv of Yibum. I'm not going down there. You know, finally, some rabbi, even though I had a tattoo, some rabbi found me to say that, you know, you joined the Jewish religion, you're a good girl, good things are going to come for you, there's somebody that believes in me. Every person wants a rabbi to believe in you. The Gadol Hador believed in me. She came home, she said, the Gadol Hador spoke to me today. He gave me to eat. He asked me how I'm doing. He gave me a bracha. Okay, good. Now go to where he's sleeping and uncover him. Are you crazy? I have some relationship. Maybe like tomorrow he'll get me to a seminary. You know, he'll get me into a Beis Yaakov. I'm going to go down there and uncover his legs. And I don't have a chiv in Yibum. So what am I doing? And the answer is that Rus was kulei chesed. She was kulei chesed. And even though she was putting her whole life on the line, it didn't matter. Her mother-in-law wanted her to have a child so that she could bring back the name of her mother-in-law's son. Where did this come from? So the tznua came from Sari Imenu. What I wanted to say when I was thinking about preparing this shir, something came into my head. And I wanted to say like this, that the two daughters of Lot that slept with their father, which is incest, right? Which chas v'sholem, you're never allowed to say something bad. There's a famous story of Moshe Feinstein. He had a guy in his shul who used to say, how could the Torah write about a father and his two daughters? And Moshe Feinstein, there was a whole story where on his deathbed, he said the two daughters of Lot were waiting for him to take him to Gehenna because he spoke Lashon Hara on them. Because they were doing it to save the world. Which is Oilem Chesed Yibana. They were doing it to, they didn't know that the world was around. They weren't doing it for an Avera. So saving the world, right? They were willing to give themselves up to save the world, even though they knew what they were doing was a terrible thing, but to save the world, to have children, otherwise there was no way they could have children. So Rus, who had that DNA, that Mesiras Nefesh, that came from her grandmother who was Lot's daughter, that Mesiras Nefesh, to go down and also do something that was a little not so tzniyistic, which was against her. But she was doing it to save a world. Because it says that bringing back the name of the father is like saving a world. That's Yibum. Where did that come from? That came from that act of that daughter who was with Lot. Now you're a dick. And the tznua part came from Sari Menu. Had she not been a tznua, that daughter would have never been with Lot because there would have been never been a Moavia allowed. There would have never been a Rus. So everything Hashem does, everything is tied. And from that act, which to us looks like, hello, father and a daughter, hello, right? Comes Mashiach. And what's Mashiach? Mashiach saving the world. Mashiach is coming to save the world. So they thought they'd save the world by being with their father. Rus was saving the name of Naomi's son. And Mashiach's going to save the world. It's all one DNA. All the way from the beginning, all the way to the end. And this is Shavuos. This is Megillas Rus. But this is all to lead up to David HaMelech. Now, I actually danced in my kitchen when I learned this. Once again, I hope you don't bring that camera to my kitchen because it looks very weird. Wallerstein dancing in his kitchen. I think it's very important for every boy in here to understand who David HaMelech was. So I'm going to just really fast. I'm going to learn a little bit in Shmuel. Shmuel Perek Tez Zion says the following. So Shaul did an Avera. He let Agag live, right? We all know the story. And now the Malchus was leaving, and Shmuel had to find the next king. Now, you should know something, that when Moshe Rabbeinu gave the in Bamidbar, he said, Yachad, he said the words, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Everyone knows, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. If you take the Rosh Hashanah, Yachad Shiftei Yisrael, it spells Yishai. It spells David HaMelech's father's name. That we're all going to be together, we'll come from Yishai, which will be Mashiach, which will be Melech David. That's when Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Okay, now, Hashem did not tell Shmuel who of Yishai's sons was going to be the next king. Okay? So, when Yishai came, when Shmuel came to Yishai, there were seven boys standing there. Seven boys. And Shmuel had to pick who's going to be the next king. The biggest and oldest one of them all was a son named Eliav. Vayaris Eliav. Shmuel saw Eliav. He was tall. He was handsome. He was the oldest. Vayoma ach neged Hashem Meshicho. Oh, that's the one that's going to be the next king. Vayoma, listen carefully to this pasuk. I've been saying this all my life. And this is for everybody in here. Vayoma Hashem el Shmuel. Hashem said to Shmuel, Al Tabet el Marehu. Don't look at his good looks. But El Givoya Kamasai. Don't look how tall he is. Kimastiu, because I have rejected him. Kiloya Sheyirha Adam. Don't judge a cover by its book, said Hashem to Shmuel. Don't look at the chitzai. Don't check a book by its cover. No one's even, they're all sleeping. No one's listening. Right? Kiloya Sheyirha Adam. Ki Adam Yolei Naim Hashem Yolevav. When a person looks at another person, when a teacher looks at a student, when a principal looks at his teacher or a student, they don't know what's going on inside. We don't know what's going on inside. Says Hashem, Ki Adam Yirele Naim. People look at other people through their eyes. Hashem Yirele Alev. This is one of the biggest psukim boys. Hashem doesn't look at you with his eyes. Hashem Yirele Alevav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks into a person's heart. It's not what you look like. It's not what you're saying. That you could fool people. Shmuel was fooled by Eliav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he's not the one. Shmuel, he's gorgeous, he's tall, he looks powerful. He's not the one. I'm Hashem. I look at a person's heart. And why did Hashem not take Eliav as the king? Because we'll see later on, Eliav had a very bad midah. And what was that midah? Kas. He got angry very easy. And a king and a Mashiach is not a person who can get angry very fast. Okay, so they brought all seven sons. All seven sons in front of Shmuel. Vayava Yishai Shivat Banav Nei Shmuel. Vayom Shmuel Yishai. Nope. It's not one of them. We got a problem here. You got seven sons. I'm looking at all of them. Hashem's telling me in my Nevi'ahs that we don't have the next king. Vayom Shmuel Yishai. Hitamu Hanarim. Is that it? Is that all your kids? Vayom. And Yishai said, oh, Char Katon. There's one little one. But he's a shepherd. What do you mean there's one little one? He didn't say he's his son. He didn't say he was his son. He said there's one little one. He didn't say I have one more son. Now, let me tell you what happened. What happened was that this machlokes that was going on with Moavi, this was going on in Klai Yisrael. And finally, they got Yishai, because Yishai came from Rus, to separate from his wife. Now, when he separated from his wife, he was already separated for 3 years. They said, you can marry a shifcha. You can marry a maidservant. Marry your maidservant. So Yishai made up to marry, he separated from his wife, and he made up to marry his maidservant. What happened? His maidservant was a very nice, holy woman. She went over to the wife, and she said, tonight I'm supposed to be with your husband, but I'm a maidservant. Yishai says that if it wasn't for the Avera Yishai never did an Avera in his life. He was holier than the holiest. She said, I'm a maidservant. How could I sleep with the Yishai? So she said, I'll tell you what you do. When I come to the room, I'll make a switch, said the Shifcha. And you, his real wife, who is separated, you go in instead of me. He won't know. And he'll never know. So she did. They made a switch. What happened? Yishai's wife became pregnant. So what happened now? All of a sudden, Yishai's wife, who had the seven boys, was separated. Well, then she's walking around with a big belly. How could that be? Only could be that she, while she was separated from her husband Yishai, she committed adultery with another man, which means that the child is a mamzer. And mamzer lo yavoi b'kal Hashem. So they, all the brothers and the father, all thought, no matter what she said, that I switched with that, they don't believe her, right? We were separated. Don't tell me no stories. So David HaMelech was born, and he was considered a mamzer. So the family took him and sent him out into the desert. We don't want to have a mamzer in the house. And they sent him out to the, not only that, but Hashem made him a redhead. And all the other children had black hair. So this was a proof. They all said, ah, he's for sure a mamzer. Where does a redhead come into our family? So you have to understand, it's very important for all of us. You have to understand that the Melech Yisrael, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim, Mashiach ben David, the Malchus of David HaMelech. David HaMelech began his life totally separated from his family, from his nation. He began his life as a mamzer. But you got to worry, you got to be careful when you give a bracha to somebody. Because if you look at the end of Rus, when Rus got married to Boaz, Klal Yisrael gave her a bracha. And what they gave her a bracha is as following. They got married, everyone walked up, they said, we're going to give you a big bracha, that this woman, Rus, should be Kirachel or Kalea. Like Rachel and Leah. Why not Sarah, Rivka? Why Rachel and Leah? That was the bracha they gave. What happened from that bracha, boys? Rachel and Leah did the switch. She gave over the secret. The night Yaakov was supposed to be with Leah, with Rachel, he was with Leah. They did the switch. So now these guys gave Ruth a bracha. Your family should be like Rachel and Leah. So what happened? Comes to David and Melech, two generations later, the bracha comes true. It was exactly like Rachel and Leah. Yaakov thought, Yishai thought he was with the maidservant, and he ended up being with his wife. Got to be careful when you give a bracha, how kind of bracha you give. It came true. So now, this David HaMelech is stuck out. This is amazing. Listen, I'm going to tell you, next week is going to be Shavuot, so I can't give you a shit Tuesday night. The first part was interesting. This is going to be crazy. Because you have to understand David HaMelech is going to give every boy in this room. So you slept the first half an hour, now you're up, you guys are awake. So now you have koyach to listen. Because I'm trying to give you practice a little bit for the night of Shavuot. This is not going to work. You know what I mean? You can't close your eyes for a second. You got to stay awake. Okay. Baruch Hashem. If you're comfortable enough to sleep in my shir, it's a good sign also. So it says like this. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech spent his youth as a shepherd. And as it says, it's interesting, guys, that before you become a king or a Kohen Gadol or Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem first wants to see how you take care of the little things in life. We know the story with Moshe Rabbeinu, with the sheep. He blamed himself. He didn't have enough to drink. Right? He carried it on his shoulder. Listen to it. He said like this. He said, Hashem went down to look at David HaMelech. So here's this guy who should have a crazy chip on his shoulder. I mean, it's not like his Rosh Hashiva threw him out of Yeshiva here. You know, it's not like he got a bad report card. His family told him he's a mamzer and have a nice day. And the Medrash says that the little redhead mamzer that they called David HaMelech in Beis Lechem, that any time something was stolen in Beis Lechem, they said it's the little guy out there in the desert, he steals things. And it says that David HaMelech would pay them back even though he didn't take it. Because he didn't want them to be missing anything. Now, you would think this guy, right, has the right to have a chip on his shoulder. What did he do wrong? He's definitely not getting into yeshiva, right? He's stuck out there. His family has nothing to do with him. Here comes Shmuel Hanavi to find the king, and his father didn't even line him up in the lineup. He didn't even put him in the lineup. Right? That Shmuel said, anybody else? And he didn't say, my son is in the desert. He said, there's another little guy in the desert. He didn't say he was my son, because Yishai didn't think it was his son. It wasn't his son. It was some other guy, redhead man's son. He didn't know who it was. That's what he was. That's what he said. He's not my son. Listen. So it says here that David, Hashem saw that David HaMelech would take his sheep, and that, first of all, he would take it, number one, if you want to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, you have to be honest. So he would take his sheep into the desert where nobody owns the grass. So his sheep would never eat somebody else's grass. He was eating wild grass. That was number one, which we knew by Avraham Avinu did the same thing. He says, and also, when he took them to pasture, he would first take out the little babies, and he would let them eat the soft grass. Then he would take out the old sheep, and he would let them eat the tough grass. Then he would take out the fully grown young sheep, right? They were able to eat the roots. So first came the little baby sheep, and they ate the soft grass that was... And then, after that, the next ones came, they ate the rest of the grass, and then the young sheep who were hot, were strong, they ate the roots of the grass. So he didn't just take his sheep and say, okay, everybody, whoever gets first, the Nebuch, the little ones, are not going to get to eat. He was very careful, even when it comes to an animal, to make sure that the little ones get first, and the old ones get second, and the regular ones get third. And Hashem saw this, and he said, listen carefully, quote, one who knows how to herd sheep, each according to their capabilities, that's a person who should take care of my people. I would like to take this line and send it to every Rebbe and every Mora and every Mechanech in Klal Yisrael. Hashem said, one who knows how to take care of his sheep. What does that mean, know how to take care of your sheep? That each according to its capabilities. You can't give a test to the 8th grade, the same test, for all 14 kids. That's not what he did here. He didn't take a sheep and say, go into the desert and, you know, whatever you can eat, eat. He said, each sheep has a different capability. And therefore, every child in my class is a different kid. And as a parent, I'm talking to the parents who are watching this, that you can't expect all of your 5 kids to be the same kid, because one kid has the capability to be a good ball player. The other one has the capability to eat. The other one has the capability to be very smart. Whatever it is. But for you to be a good leader, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, to be a good parent, to be a good Rebbe, to be a good rabbi, to be a good person, you have to treat each person according to their capabilities. And that's what made Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what made David HaMelech, David HaMelech. Okay. Vayishlach. So he sent to bring him in from the desert. Vayaveo, they brought him, who had Maini, says the Navi. Why do we need to know this? He was a redhead. I'll tell you why we need to know this. Im Yefei Enayim, he had very beautiful blue eyes, David HaMelech. He said to Rav Shani, tell me with the whole story, with that eagle, with the whole thing. They went up to David HaMelech and they saw him and whatever, he has blue eyes. Well, it says here, he had unbelievable eyes, but Toiv Rai, he was pretty, he was good looking. Hashem said to Shmuel, the redhead with the blue eyes, that's him. Anoint him. Why does the Navi tell us that he was a redhead? So it says that when Shmuel and Navi saw that he was a redhead, he became very scared. Because Esav was a redhead. And by Esav it says that being a redhead, he had tendencies towards bloodshed. Now we know that David HaMelech Taka went to war. He was a warrior. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, again, don't look at the outside looks. Because what is the Nach saying here, Tanakh saying? That he had red hair. He had in him to be a killer. But he had beautiful eyes. What does it mean that he had beautiful eyes? Hashem was into his eyes, blue eyes. What Hashem was saying is that he was able with his eyes to learn and to go to rabbis and to go to the Sanhedrin and go to the Urim V'Tumim that was in the Beis HaMikdash, that the Kohen Gadol, he didn't make any decisions on his own. He learned. He used his eyes to grow. So even though he had in him a sense of a killer, because he was red, so to say, but he was able to tame it and not to kill Chas V'Shalom, the wrong people, because he used his eyes. So a person has a way of overcoming his tendencies by, of course, using his eyes for the right things, not for the wrong things. Okay, so he anointed him. Fine. Let's jump to Mr. Plishti over here. Okay. Let's go to the war. So there were two groups. The Jews were on one side, the Plishtim were on the other side, and the Plishtim had this guy Golias, right? He was their giant. And Vayetzei Ish HaBeinayim. HaBeinayim means from Habanim. We don't know where he came from, in between. We don't know who his father is, because his mother Arpa, his grandmother Arpa was with, his mother Arpa actually was with all these men, so we don't know. And he was Shesh Amos Vizaresh. So he says that he was 11 and a half feet tall. And just to give you a little bit of an idea who David HaMelech, this little boy, was going up against. So the Pasuk tells us that the Kovah Nechosh HaRoshe, he had a helmet made out of copper, right? And his armor weighed 5,000 copper shekels. There's a machlokas what that means. Either it means 156 pounds, plus the head of the spear that he used was 19 pounds. So therefore, his total was 175 pounds. So you had this 11.5-foot man, right? That had 175 pounds of armor on him. All the Medrash says, no, you're learning it wrong, because the copper weighed more than the silver, and therefore he was 4,000 pounds of armor and 470 pounds on top of the spear. And the Pasuk says that that was only half his armor. So he says, according to one Medrash, he was carrying 9,000 pounds of armaments. He was a walking tank. Okay? Now, if you have the picture, you have this huge monster, and David HaMelech, this little Jew boy, right, who is not, well, we'll see, he's not wearing any armor, is willing to go up against this. How is that possible? So when I learned this, I said to myself, what's the big deal? Many of us sitting in this room, the Yetzer Hara that we're dealing with is bigger than 9,000 pounds of armaments. Because no matter how many times we fight him, with no matter how many weapons, he's this huge thing. You know, Rabbi Wallerstein gives Shurim, stop drugs, stop drinking, stop girls, stop this, stop that. That's more than 9,000 pounds of armaments. Yitzhar is huge, he's a malach. Not 12 feet tall. He's 1,000 feet tall. He has millions of eyes. So, what's the big deal over here? So, whatever David HaMelech used to take this giant down, if we can learn what he did, then we can take our giant down. So now this whole story has a different look, because we all have a Goliath in our life. We all have this huge giant, maybe a 54-inch screen. I don't know exactly what it is, this huge giant that you got to deal with. But we all got this huge giant standing in front of us that, you know, that we feel like, hello, how am I going to fight this guy? I didn't learn all my life. Like, I can't go up against the Yetzer Hara. So if we could dig in, we could plug into David HaMelech, and we can plug into how to fight our Goliath. Okay. So let's see. So he came up with this idea, and he said, Vayamar, he stood up, Vayikra Marachis Yisrael, he spoke to the whole Jewish army, well, and he said, Lama Tetzalach Muhammad, why do we need the whole army Plishtim to go against the Jews? Let's just go me and one-on-one. One-on-one. You bring your best against me. If you win, if I die, all the Plishtim belong to you. If your guy dies, all the Jews belong to us. So he was challenging. But it says that he was challenging more than that. He was challenging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Ish Mechama. We say it in Oz Yashir. He was saying, bring on your God, man. I will take your God down. That's what he was saying. Which we'll see. Okay. So that's what he told them. Vayishma Shol, and they all heard this. Vayichatu Vayiru Ma'od. They were broken and extremely afraid. Okay, we don't have time because it's really late. He came for 40 days and he challenged the Jews. And it says he came in the morning and night. He came when we were saying Kriya Shema. He would get up and say, "You're a bunch of weak, and you can't fight. And I can take on you and your God. Send me a man one on one." And nobody had the nerve to go, except David HaMelech. Now, David HaMelech was sent by his father to give his brother things to eat, or whatever it is. I have to skip through all this. Now let's go on. Listen carefully. So all the Jews are there hacking. They're hacking. It's the schmooze. Everybody's hacking. What do we do? Who do we call? You know, we don't get no superheroes. Who's gonna fight this guy? Who's gonna get up against, you know, Goliath? Who's gonna fight? And they're all schmoozing and they're all hacking. And David HaMelech's like walking in, this little guy, this little shepherd. He's like, what's up here? What's going on? What's the hack? What's going on over here? You know? So they told him, ooh, you didn't hear? This Goliath, whoever takes him down, right? And whoever takes him down will remove the cherpa, the shame from the Jews, right? And Shaul said that whoever takes him down is going to get his daughter, who's going to get rewarded. You know, it's a big thing. Okay. So Eliyahu, his older brother, heard this. He got very angry. He said, "You go back to the sheep. How dare you leave the sheep alone? What are you doing over here? You came just to see what's going on. You left our sheep alone now, and now you're being a schmoozer here just to see the stupid giant. Get out of here!" Right? So David answered him. It's his older brother who threw him into the desert, right? David, he said, what did I do? I just asked a question. What's the reward? I didn't say I'm going to fight or anything. Where did this come from? Boaz. This is how you talk. Even though his brother was admonishing him for nothing, he did nothing wrong. He said, I'm not doing anything. I just said, what's going on? I'm not fighting him. I'm not being a big shot. I'm not doing anything. He answered him very gently. But it came back to Shaul. So here now, if you could picture this, guys. You got this little boy. He's not a little boy. He was 29 years old. But he's a little boy, right? Who never fought a day in his life. He's a shepherd. He takes care of sheep. With a little sheepdog, right? You got Shaul, who was a warrior. A warrior. With all the Jewish warriors. They were huge warriors, right? And David says to Shaul, King, what are you getting nervous about this guy? You should. I will go and fight with him. So Shaul said to David, you can't go fight with this giant. Kinarata, you're a little kid. He's a warrior. Right? So David, listen to his answer. And this is how you have to answer your Yetzirah. Vayomer David el Shaul. And David said to Shaul, you're right. Roya hayavdecha, I am a shepherd. La'aviv b'tzayin, I take care of my father's sheep. But I want to tell you a story, Mr. Shaul, King Shaul. Uboha arives hadov, one day a lion came and a bear. V'nasa sema eden, they had the chutzpah, this lion and bear, to take one of my lambs. They came into my lamb, they took one of my lambs. Huh? V'yatzasav achrov, I ran after them. V'yikisav, I hit him. V'yatzati mipiv, and I took the lamb right out of his mouth. Well, the lion and the bear didn't like that. V'yokam alai, so they attacked me. They attacked me. V'yatzati bizkanai, I grabbed the lion's beard. V'yikisiv, and I hit him. V'yimitiv, and I killed him. Gamas ha'ari, gamas ha'doiv, hika avdecha. He said it in third person. I killed the lion, and worse than a lion, a bigger fighter than a lion is a bear. I killed the lion, and I killed the bear. And what's the difference between this uncircumcised, low-life, plishti, gullious monster? What's the difference between him and a lion and a bear? Because this Plishti had the nerve to insult my God. And if he insulted my God, he's a dead man. Okay? Let's go on. David's giving Shaul a Musar Shmuz. He said, listen, the same God. So now, you guys have to understand this. Because this is really my shir. The first part, this is my shir. He's saying to Shaul something very big here. He's not saying, I killed the lion, and I killed the bear. Listen to what he's telling Shaul. He's telling him a very interesting thing. I didn't kill anybody. Hashem saved me from the lion and the bear. Who yatzlenim yada plishti hazeh? So if God saved me from the lion and bear, and it's not me, if it's me, you could say, you know what, you got lucky. You killed a bear and you killed a lion. This guy's 12 feet tall with 200,000 pounds of armament. He's a soldier. You have no chance against him. But if it's Hashem that saved me, so what's the difference to Hashem, a lion or a giant? It's all the same thing. So what he was telling Shaul is, what are you scared of? King Shaul, plug into God. And the same Hashem that helped boys in this room beat the Yetzirah, because you're all growing. All of you are growing. I know that. And whenever you ever beat the Yetzirah in, whether it's Minyan or girls, whatever it is, you beat him in something. Nobody here lost to him everything. He wouldn't be here. Because you beat him tonight that you came to shear. So you beat him. So you all beat him in something. You beat him tonight. So the same Hashem, what David HaMelech is telling us here, is the same Hashem who helped you beat him television or movies or drugs, whatever it is that you beat him, he can help you beat him on anything. So why are you giving up? Why are you giving up hope? Why are you getting all depressed and saying, I don't want to be part of this anymore? So what I'm else to show, manishtana. If I think I killed the lion and the bear, you're right, this guy's much bigger, I don't have a chance. If you think that you're here tonight because you beat the Yetzirah, then you're right. You know, television is harder to beat, and movies is harder to beat, and girls is much harder to beat, and drinking is crazy to beat. But if you realize that any time you beat the Yetzirah was only because you're connected to Hashem, so man ishtana. Dovid HaMelech! This is Mashiach! This is what he. This is who he was! This is a guy that got thrown out of yeshiva, didn't get into yeshiva. This guy was called a mamzer. Nobody in this room went through what he went through. But instead of feeling sorry for himself, he's giving the Melech Yisrael, Shaul HaMelech, a Musar Shmuz. What are you scared of? You have a sham. What are you scared of? Ooh, and Shaul heard that. Shaul said, this boy can fight. This boy can do anything. While Yalbe Shaul is David, Madov, and that's kind of chayshes.
Shaul took off his armory, the king's armory, and put it on David HaMelech. David HaMelech was much smaller than Shaul, and it should not have fit. But it shrunk, and it fit David HaMelech perfectly. Now, Shaul HaMelech had armor that was very holy. And to go fight this Plishti, it was very much needed. And David HaMelech realized that when Shaul's armor fit him, that the Malchus was going to leave Shaul and go to him.
Around this boy. So listen to how David HaMelech, the son of, the grandson of Rus, right, the great-great-great-grandchild of coming from Sarimenu. Listen to what he did. So he realized that Shaul is now upset. So he said to Shaul,